This is the Old Trailblazer broadcast. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis once again riding out on Old Dan, blazing the path to the hearts of sinners. We're happy to have you folks with us at this time. The Old Trailblazer broadcast now is going out over about 40 stations across the south, southeast, up the east coast, up into Appalachia, Tennessee, Maryland, wherever. And if you folks have folks that you'd like to hear this broadcast, put them in touch with me. And also, you can hear us on your live streaming on your internet at www.wlno each morning at 8:45 Central Standard Time here from our flagship station, WLNO. They stream this broadcast, the Old Trailblazer, plus it's on many other stations that are streaming the broadcast. If you write me, I'll send you a log of all of these broadcasts. Free and postpaid. Won't cost you a penny. You can see where the Old Trailblazer going out, riding Old Dan up there in Kentucky and in Kansas and Nebraska, all over the plains out there, bringing God's message. We're bringing you a series of studies now on the revelation of Jesus Christ. And I know in many circles, folks won't have the gospel. It's controversial in many subjects. Folks say it's not even a part of the Bible. Some of the denominations have ripped it out of the Bible over the years ago. But it's God's Word, my friend. Day in and day out, we're bringing you God's Word. We're looking at the church now at Laodicea, there in the letters that Christ dictated to the Apostle John, there on the Isle of Patmos. And we saw there how that the Lord had said to this church, I know, because thou sayest I'm rich and increased with goods and so on. Says, I will counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. But in the end of that letter, he says, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and sup with him. To him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne. And then Christ approached this church. Well, let me read on there. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He ends every letter, all the seven letters, with those words. But Christ approached this church there at Laodicea. Someone has called it the lost church. Maybe it was. I'm not sure. But the Lord approached this church, which had closed its doors against the Lord, against the gospel, as the Amen. He called himself the Amen, and as the faithful and true witness, and as the beginning of the creation of God. Christ did not approach any one of the other six churches as he approached this one, which had drifted away into the apostasy. As the Amen, Christ as the Amen signifies eternal fixedness. That word means it's fixed. And it cannot be changed. Oh, my friend, what a gracious word. In the Gospel of John, this word is translated verily. Christ uses it as a double verily several times, which we may read verily, verily, or amen, amen, which means it is fixed and cannot be changed. It is fixed and cannot be changed. The church had failed. Christ remains the Amen. It is the language of the faithful, eternal, sovereign, omnipotent God who brings to pass the things which he has promised. In 2 Corinthians 1:20, we find these words, for all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. Christ is the finality. He is the end. He is the Alpha and Omega. There can be no appeal from him. He is the conclusion, the beginning, and the ending. According to Revelations 1:8, the first and the last, Revelations 1:17, he is the certainty, the finality, the final authority, the Amen. In other words, the truth of God's Word, his eternal promises, according to Hebrews 6, the great doctrine such as God's deity, his virgin birth, Luke 1:35, bodily resurrection, Matthew 28, blood redemption, 1 Peter 1:18, Christ's ascension back to the right hand of the Father, Acts 1:9, his second coming, Philippians 3:20, are settled forever, eternally settled, according to Psalms 119, 89, and forever established, Luke 21:33. Oh, my friend, because Christ is the Amen. there is some warning. This is some warning to infidels and atheists and agnostics and Unitarian and modernists and present-day skeptics regarding sitting on the side. Listen now, regarding God's eternal Word. The Word of God is true, my friend, whether you believe it or not. We make this statement here at the Trailblazer broadcast concerning God's Word, the Holy Bible, which we hold in our hand. This is God's Word. Believe it and be saved. Disbelieve it, argue with it, take issue with it, and go to hell for your trouble. The Word of God is true. It cannot be changed, according to Malachi 3. It cannot be broken, according to John 10. And you can rest your eternal destiny upon it. May I say again, because Christ is the Amen, He is able to bring to pass that which He has promised, according to Hebrews 11:11. Therefore, His promises cannot be broken. Titus 1:2. In the second place, now let's slow down just a moment, Trailblazer. Don't get your feathers all up. In the second place, Christ, it bothers me, folks, for folks to take issue with God's Word. It bothers me for folks to throw light, count it as a light thing, that God's Word, and that God is no longer on the throne, ruling and reigning. He is, my friend. He is. He approaches this church as the faithful and true witness. As the church had failed in their witnessing, Christ had not failed and does not fail. We're coming to see that the book of Revelation is not only the Word of God, but it is the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ, according to Revelation 1:9. Though through it all we see the faithfulness of our Lord, He is faithful who has promised. Let the world, in all of its unbelief and totally depraved condition, call the Word of God a lie. But my friend, to the believer, to the born-again one, it is the Word of God. And Christ, being the faithful and true witness, assures us that every promise can and will be fulfilled. On the other hand, Christ being the true and faithful witness, it is a solemn warning that the judgment set forth in God's Word against all unbelievers will be executed to the letter. Thank God. Thank our Lord that the believer is complete in Christ, according to Colossians 2:10, and that everything we have, or everything we hold, or everything we hope to be, is summed up in Christ, our true and faithful witness. Then in the third place, Christ comes to this church, which was rich and increased with goods and had need of nothing, as the beginning of the creation of God. It is made plain in God's Word that all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made, according to John 1:3. Then in Colossians 1:15, we find, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven. Now, my friend, we've lost that. We've lost the tenacity, if you will, of God, that God made everything. My friend, we have these little peanut skeptics and agnostics and Unitarians standing up to the Lord, just like a little black ant on the sidewalk here in New Orleans. You go down the sidewalk, and there's a little trail of ants going across the sidewalk, little ants that always get into the sugar dish when you're at home out there in the country. But you take your toe and kind of point it to one of them, and he'll rear up on his back legs like he's going to jump on you. That's just about the same thing as man denying that God is in control. My friend, God one day is going to spew those folks out of His mouth. And I asked you, are you denying the veracity of God? Are you denying the graciousness of the Lord? All of those things, my friend. But listen, I asked you, my friend, to take note that He's on the throne. Not only by Him and through Him are all things created, but He is the head of the new creation. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. One of my favorite subjects, one of the most spoken of subjects that I speak of, because it said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. My friend, are you a new creature? I asked you, are you a new creature? I asked myself, am I a new creature? Am I the same old sinner that I used to be? Am I the same old reprobate? Am I got the same old spirit, same old critical tongue, same old lying tongue, same old conniving spirit, same old hateful spirit? No. because I've been made a new man in Christ. I asked you, will you look in the mirror when you go in the bathroom to brush your teeth and say, am I a new man? Am I a new woman in Christ? Christ speaks here with the authority of creation, my friend. He announces his wealth and his independency. And the church did not really realize that, listen, all the things they had or possessed were his and came from him. How they would have blushed if their eyes could have been opened and they could have seen that they were taken up with the world and the things of the world and had missed Christ, the Creator and Savior of their soul. Now, I asked you today, at this time, tonight, wherever you are you taken up with the world? The Bible says we are in the world, but we are not of the world. No, we're not of the world, my friend. Do you still haunt the same old places that you used to haunt? Do you read the same old filth that you used to read? Do you run after the perversions of the world that you might have once done? Do you? Do you take God's name in vain like you used to do? Do you spend a Sunday now on the river or on the beach somewhere, stripped off, half naked? Or are you at home, resting and meditating and asking the Lord for grace on a Sunday afternoon? Or, Pastor, are you out there on the golf course with your little short shorts on with the boys? Maybe go by the clubhouse and get a beer, get a brew, you call it. And my friend, that's not salvation. You're not no more saved than a hog at a side saddle. No, my friend, we are separate people. God's people are a peculiar people. We've been separated from the world, and we no longer run after the world. We no longer long after the world, no longer lust after the world. You say, well, are you perfect? No, sir. No, sir. I still have that old heart, but it longs after sin. But the Scripture says it will not have dominion over me. Now, my friend, the Lord is so plain. We are in the world, but we are not of the world. And I tell you, if you enjoy the company of the world on a regular basis, hearing the vulgarity and the obscenity and the profaneness coming out of the mouths of men and women now, nothing more profane than a woman with a cigarette in one hand and a bottle of beer in the other and with a foul mouth. It sounds like the birds roosted in her mouth. Now, my friend, no worse than the man, a vulgar man. But, my friend, that's not God's people. God's people are a separate people. And the Lord says to this church here, he said, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. I'll spew you out of my mouth. Is that what's going to happen to you, my friend? Are you going to wake up one day at the great white throne judgment and the Lord said, depart from me, I never knew you? You say, well, old trailblazer, you're just dogmatic. You're just too dogmatic. Well, my friend, God's word is dogmatic. It says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. It says it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. The Bible is the most dogmatic instrument that I know of. It doesn't quibble. It doesn't quibble. It's not an opinion. The Bible is not the God's opinion. It's not to be taken as your opinion. Oh, listen, my friend, it's to be believed. It's to be believed and accepted as God's word. God dictated every word, every jot, every tittle, every question mark, every comma, every one. Right there, my friend, where the emphasis is placed. He says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. That's not questionable. That's not debatable. I don't know for sure if that's true or not. No, you do that, you just go to hell for your trouble. But my friend, the old trailblazer is attempting to be true to your soul. God's word is true whether you believe it or not. And here the Lord addresses this church as the Amen. Oh, listen, he's the finality. It's all there is to it. There is no more. There's no appeal past that, my friend. And there's no authority higher or greater than the Lord Jesus Christ. And I wish we could get that down in our noodle. My mama used to say, get that in your noodle now. But listen, remember the old trailblazer? My address or my mailing address is Post Office Box 6250, New Orleans, Louisiana 70174. Until next time, goodbye and may God bless you.